Chapter 18. Nova Class Frigate, Forge Hammer. Though it was tight, Hakem slipped through the maintenance shaft with the stealth of a viper. Using his bone-clawed elbows, he quickly dragged his armored body across the floor of the tiny duct. Never stopping, he remained intent on his point of egress, as dictated by Urgaresh. It was hard to think without his brother sergeant's instruction, the throbbing inside his cracked skull a constant distraction. It made him wrathful. Ahead, a light burned. It hurt his eyes. He much preferred the dark, but knew it meant the execution of the next phase of his mission was at hand. Execution was just what Urgaresh had charged him with. Encouraging the bone blades to slip a fraction from the flesh sleeves in his forearms, then through the gaps in his armor, Hakem let the savagery that was ever at the edge of his thoughts take over. Preceded by the clatter of a hatch hitting the deck as it was stripped off its hinges, something large and black burst from the maintenance duct and into the armsmen. Makata was already turning as a solid armored mass hit his men like a wrecking ball. Demolition did not accurately sum up what happened in the seconds that followed, however. Massacre did. Blood arced in fountains from suddenly screaming armsmen. So did their limbs and heads as the monster's bone blades began to carve. "Take him down!" Makato screamed, trying to bully his way through the press of bodies that were understandably retreating from the murderous whirlwind that had sprung up amongst them. A panicked scrum developed between those men within reach of the monster and those trapping them. Makato had packed the corridor tight. He wanted overlapping fields of fire, a cannonade that would bring even space marines down. They were positioned at a junction with three exits, guns pointing towards aft, one exit to the side, and the rest of the corridor behind. Death, clad in black, came from this direction. And unlike the slow, inexorable force often recited in bleak poems and soliloquies, here death was swift and bloody. Order was lost. Even if they could stop this one monster, they were utterly undone. Ahead of the armsmen, watching the corridor, the boarding shield moved aside and admitted a fresh band of deadly warriors. With the rapier's ammo mags still half in, half out, Makato's men were reduced to small arms fire. Shotgun bursts and lasgun beams smacked and ricocheted off the renegade's armor. But the black dragons were undaunted. They came on like a tide, bolters crashing like the thunder of waves. Makato froze, trapped in an island of indecision. One way, the monster threshing his men like crops on an agri-farm. The other, a rushing force, tired of hiding and committed to the charge. For the first time since Yugeti Makato had given him his inaugural sword-fighting lesson, Kensai did not know what to do. Strike or fade? Strong hands seized him by the shoulders, almost hauling Makato off his feet. Decision made, but not by him. Jeddah rushed in front of him, taking charge and waving the two men who grabbed Makato away. "You can shoot me for insubordination later, Lieutenant," he said to the thrashing form of Makato as he disappeared down the side corridor. "This is your ship. You have to live if you're going to defend it, sir."
"Jeddah!"
Makato screamed, remembering how he had screamed as Yugeti had dragged him away from his father's body, Hiroshima, dead to a pirate's blade. Though the household guard, the Bushiko, had repulsed the Xenos raiders, Kensai Makato had become a man that day. He had made his first vow to join the Imperial Navy and honor the legacy of Hiroshima and Yugeti Makato. This was how it was supposed to end for him, embattled with weapon in hand. He railed against it, his cheated fate, but was powerless to stop it as Jeddah vanished into the shadows. "I will hold them as long as I can," he called, wading in with the others as the bulkhead door slammed down, cutting him off from view and silencing the screams. Urgaresh saw the officer dragged off by his own men and knew the fight was theirs. It had been the moment Hakem had emerged amongst them, but with them now trying to save their leader, it meant the mortals had all but accepted their fate. By his side were Thorast and Skaar, the latter firing off quick bursts from his purloined bolter to try to break up the wall of solid shot and Laz peppering the black dragons. There was no sign of Garn, but Urgaresh could not worry about that now. He had tossed his own bolt pistol when the mag ran dry and wielded the chainsword two-handed, leading into the charge with his shoulder. He was hurting. His eyes still burned from the blind grenade, despite the optical compensators in his battle helm. Urgaresh knew Thorast and Skaar had felt it too. Both were seized by a feral rage. With Hakem at their backs, cutting flesh as he was born to, and Thorast, Skaar, and Urgaresh pushing from the front, the fight was mercifully short. For what they had done to Zartath, Urgaresh wanted to punish the mortals more, but was cogent enough to realize these wretched souls were not the true focus of his ire. He wanted the salamanders. "Where are they?" snarled Skaar, battering a man to death with the stock of his bolter. Ammunition was short, and now they were amongst the armsmen, it made sense to try to conserve it. Urgaresh was surprised at Skaar's restraint. Perhaps they were not as lost as the sergeant believed. "They should come. We slaughter their men." Skaar lifted a man by the throat, crushing the mortal's larynx with a savage twist before dropping him and breaking another. "They should come." Hakem met his brothers from the other side of the melee. Anointed with blood, there was something monstrous and unpredictable about him, even to Urgaresh. "Well met, brother," rasped the sergeant, using the flat of his chain blade to swat a figure into the wall. Its face was crushed on impact, the armsman's helmet splitting across the middle of the crown. Urgaresh barely registered it. The burring chain teeth of his sword were already cutting into more meat. In the carnage, his enemies had ceased to be people anymore. They were just obstacles in his way, laid waste to by his wrath. The slaughter became mechanistic, almost perfunctory. A momentary flash of pain in his cheek brought him out of this murderous torpor, and belatedly Urgaresh realized he had been shot almost point-blank in the face. He staggered and felt the hot knives of the shotgun pellets where they had penetrated his helm and embedded into flesh. The vox grill was wrecked, so he ripped it away with his free hand, warding off his attacker with his chainsword in the other. He was a skilled fighter, this mortal. Urgaresh recognized him from the Fist of Krador. Still fending off his attacker, Urgaresh tore off his battle helm completely and swung. The blow came unexpectedly and struck the man across the torso and neck. He snapped back, disarmed. Urgaresh spared him no words and thrust the chain blade into the mortal's prone body. It was over. The rest either died or fled. Urgaresh did not bother to give chase, nor did any of the wrath. They would get to them all soon enough. This had been the defenders' best attempt to stop them, and it had failed. "Is this it?" snapped Skaar, glaring at the spread of bodies lying beneath him in rapidly expanding pools of their own blood. He turned to Urgaresh, a savage look in his eye visible where one of his retinal lenses had been smashed during the fight.
"My fury is not yet slaked, brother sergeant." "We aren't done," said Urgaresh,
largely ignoring Scar's minor tantrum while he inspected the chainsword. Some of the teeth were broken and its motor hardly purred anymore. Perhaps he had gone at the mortals harder than he first thought. In his peripheral vision, Urgaresh noticed Harkem. Drenched in blood and sweat, he released a cascade of mortal fluids as he shook his head. The act was not unlike that of a dog, and Urgaresh wondered again at where this road was taking them all.
"I would have Salamander's blood for Zartath," hissed Scar, gripping the edge of Urgaresh's plastron. Urgaresh glared at him. "So would I," he calmly replied. "Now release me."
Scar obeyed, bowing his head in swift compliance as he realized his overstep.
"Scar is right, brother sergeant," said Harkem. "This is barely worth the effort. I joined a rescue mission that turned into one demanding vengeance instead. With that, I have no issue, but slaughtering these dregs," he gestured to the bodies, "it's butcher's work, not worthy of us. We're unscathed, and yet they—"
"No, brother," uttered the solemn voice of Thorast.
The apothecary was kneeling next to Garn, his reductor already unsheathed.
"Not unscathed."
Garn was dead, his body slumped against the boarding shield, but still more or less upright. He had died on his feet, which was little more than they could all ask. The shield had taken some grievous hits, after all. There were gaps in the armor, gaps that Garn had stopped with his own body.
"Do not fail your brothers. Though their bodies die, their spirit must return to the chapter. That is your charge."
"So it was said," murmured Thorast, nodding at Urgaresh's recitation of the Credo of Apothecaries.
"So too shall be done,"
the sergeant concluded. All watched as Thorast took Garn's gene seed and added it to the rest from the fist of Credo.
"It's done," said Thorast, turning to his sergeant.
"What now?"
"Are we monsters, brothers?" asked Urgaresh. "We are what our masters on Terra made us to be," said Scar. "Then we head to the bridge. If there are salamanders here on this ship, that is where we will find them. I want to look them in the eye before we kill them and ask why."
"What kind of answer do you want?" asked Thorast.
"It hardly matters, I suppose. I just want them to know what this has all been for, what they have forced us to do, to become, and what we must do next."
Without transhuman reinforcements, the ship was at the mercy of the Black Dragons. For what the salamanders had done, Urgaresh would see it crashed on the dirty world below.